Morning, Calvary. How are y'all this morning? It's good to be in the Lord's house. I'm glad everybody didn't decide to lay out because the pastor wasn't here. I was actually worried that I wouldn't have nobody to preach to, so I guess I'll just preach to myself. But I'm glad y'all decided to get ready and come to the house of God. And I'm glad that we can still have church even though the pastor's gone. You know, I'm glad that we still have a Savior even though he's gone. Our pastor's gone. You know what? The Savior is still here. I'm glad that he didn't take the presence of God with him. You know, I believe that the hindrances have just left the church, so let's just have church today. But man, my mic is on, so you'll probably hear that, but it's all right. I love my pastor. I believe you should love your pastor. If not, you need to go find a church and love that pastor. But I love my pastor. He's a dear friend, and I was talking to him just a few minutes ago through the way of text, and they haven't left yet, but be in prayer. They'll be home sometime today. So you just pray for them that God will give them a safe travel and give them mercy and grace. And they've had a good time, but he said he's ready to come back and preach. So that's always good to hear. So I'm excited to see what God's going to do with our church. And if we always put God at the forefront of everything, and it's not about us. It's not about our pastor. It's not about me. It's not about one family. You know what? It's all about him. I believe John the Baptist said, he must increase, but I must decrease. And I believe that's the way the church should be. I'm glad that we're part of the church. You know what? Jesus Christ gave himself for the church. No greater love than this, a man to lay down his life for his friends. I'm glad the Lord saw us to fit to die for, but I'm glad that we're part of him. I'm glad that we can be in Christ and Christ can be in us. But man, you said, preach, why are you talking? Because I'm nervous. You get up here, and I mean, I got people all around me looking at me, and I'm just one man, and I'm a pretty big target for everybody to see. I'm not, you know, someone little like Preston. I can, you know, try to blend in. I can't hide anywhere, so I'm just out in the open. But you pray for me. I got a message God gave me, and I don't know, you know, preachers with Brother Kenny and Derek over here, and any other preachers in the house, you know that whenever you're studying, you get a message, and you think, man, I can't wait to preach it. That, I mean, it's just so big. It's like a wildfire in your soul. I believe like Jeremiah said, it's a fire. He said, now, I couldn't stay. But you know what? That fire kind of died down. And God said, we're going to switch directions. We're going to go this way. You start studying that out. I mean, you make an outline and everything, an inline. I mean, you got everything. And God said, all right, we're going to go somewhere else. You know, I've been going all, but you know what? I'm going to just go with what God gave me. You know, you see my paper. I ain't got much notes, so we probably won't be here long. But I'm just going to preach what God gives me. Let me go ahead and take a sip of my water. But I'm glad we can laugh and have fun in church. It's good. And I believe that. I believe that it's good to laugh and smile every once in a while. Now, we're not in bondage anymore. We're not in sin. The Bible says, if Christ has made you free, you shall be free indeed. You know what I mean? I can do anything I want to. But you know what? I'm glad my wants has changed. Whenever Christ moved in, my desires moved out. And I've been living for Christ ever since. And I'm having the time of my life. And I wouldn't change anything. I love the Lord and I love my life. I've just been so blessed. And if we look back and see how God's blessed us, I mean, we're not dying and going to hell. I mean, we can't even go to hell if we tried. I mean, I'm just thankful that I have a place with him, and he has a place inside of me, and I'm living the good life. You said, preacher, you missed out on a lot in life. I missed out on a lot of heartaches and troubles and trials, but you know what? I've got a friend in Christ, a friend that goeth with me all the way, even unto the end of the world. I'm glad that I know him, but best of all, he knows me. But if you have a Bible, we'll go ahead and get started. Turn to Acts chapter number 3. Acts chapter number 3, when you find your place, please stand and we'll honor the reading of God's Word. I see a few visitors here, and it's good to have y'all, and just make yourself at church. And Acts chapter number 3, I'm going to read several verses of Scripture. I'm in fact going to read a little bit of chapter 4. It's going to take me a little while to set the table before we go somewhere with the message. So y'all just bear with me. I'm going to give you what God gave me. And I know it's going to be a little bit lengthy, but just hang on. I'm going somewhere if you just hang on. All right. Look at verse number 1 in chapter number 3. It says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Jump down to verse chapter number 4 and verse number 1. I'm going to read a few scriptures here. And it says, and as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. I'm going to stop right there and I'm going to read a few more verses. But notice it says being grieved. You know what that word grieved means? Sore troubled. It troubled them. It bothered them. It got to their very core that they were preaching and doing things in the name of Jesus. It wasn't that what they were doing. It's who they were doing it with. They were doing it with the power of God. They was doing it through Christ. They wasn't doing it of themselves. They didn't say in the name of John, rise up and walk. In the name of Peter, get up and walk. He said in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. You know, they didn't care what they were doing. They cared about whose name they were doing it in. I believe they said in the name of, in the name of Caesar, get up and walk. In the name of, you know, the Sadducees, get up and walk. In the name of Israel, get up and walk. Whoever it is, they wouldn't be bothered about that. But because of that word Jesus, I mean, that word, it just gripped them. I believe that's the very word that troubled them, the name Jesus. And you know what? You know what? Before I was lost, you know what? Whenever I was out of God's will, that word, I mean, it would just kind of send cold chills down to my back, Jesus. But you know what? I love that name, Jesus. There's just something special about that name. I believe that name does something inside of my soul. I mean, just something starts bubbling up when I hear the name Jesus. I mean, just think about what Jesus did for me and how much Jesus gave his life for me. And there's just something about that name. What a lovely name, the name of Jesus. I love the name of Jesus. Let me read a few more and you can be seated. Verse number 3 says, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. Verse number 7 says, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, you know, Peter, he was the one that was always speaking. There have been some times Peter stuck his foot in his mouth. There have been some times Peter said some things that he shouldn't have said. But I believe whenever he's walking, he said, who do men say that I am? Some said thou art Elias. Some said John the Baptist. Some say this and that. But you know what? Jesus looked at him and said, who do ye say that I am? I believe Peter bubbled up and he knew inside of him every time he heard an answer, who art thou? I believe he said, I know who you are. One of them would pop up. I don't know, Matthew would have said, well, some say Jeremiah. I believe he said, no, that's wrong. Well, some say thou art, you know, one of the prophets come back. He said, no, that's wrong. And he said, who do ye say that I am? I believe Peter, he rose up and he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I know he was right when he said that, but there have been some times when Peter done some things. Hey, isn't Peter just like many of us? He's so quick to open his mouth. He said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's build them a tabernacle, build you a tabernacle. We'll just have church. But you know what? God thundered from the glory world. He said, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. There have been some times Peter was wrong, but you know what? There have been some times when Peter was right. And he was right this time. Listen to what he said. He said, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. If you ever get filled with the Holy Ghost, you know what? You'll do what's right. You don't have to worry about him. The Holy Ghost is never going to lead you down a path that's wrong. Let me say that. The Holy Ghost is never going to lead you down the wrong path. He's getting ready to say something good. Let's see what he says. It says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to impotent men, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God hath raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before ye whole. This is a stone which set at the nod of ye builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I love what Peter said right there. He just parked up and preached about Jesus to them people. But you know what? I don't even have a title for my message. I guess that don't really mind, but I do have a message. Let me pray and y'all can be seated. Heavenly, thank you. You can be seated. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name unto heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You know that word must be, it doesn't say could be, it doesn't say might be, it says no other name, must be saved. I'm glad salvation is in no other name but then Jesus Christ. You know, there's something about that name Jesus that does something inside of me. I mean, it just bubbles up on the inside of me. That name Jesus. I mean, just thinking about the price He paid, how much He loved me. Whenever I was unlovable, He loved me. The Bible says, whenever you were yet sinners, Christ died for sinners. I mean, I wasn't good. I believe Brother Scott, he preached a wonderful message Wednesday night on no greater love than this, a man to lay down his life for his friends. I love hearing about the love of God preached. It says, what shall separate us from the love of God? Neither height, nor depth, nor this, nor that. I mean, a big old list. Just to summarize it, nothing shall be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I'm glad that we can experience that love of God. And all that, I'm glad I can testify and say I know a little something about the love of God. You say, preacher, how can you explain it? I believe it's indescribable. I can't explain it. The best way I can say it is just try it. You got to experience for yourself how good the love of God is in your life. I believe every once in a while, He'll put a smile on your face. He'll put a leap in your step. He'll do something on the inside of you. You might be going through a dark storm. You might be going through with your head down. You might be going through some of the darkest valleys in your life. But whenever you hear the word Jesus, something on the inside of you just bubbles up. Everything might be going well in your life. Things might be going in your directions. Things might not be going the way you want them to go. But you might be down and out. But whenever you hear that name Jesus, I believe something on the inside starts to pick up a little bit. I believe something on the inside starts to turn in a little bit. And this smile comes across your face, knowing that Jesus has made it all worth it. I tell you, one day you'll look back and you'll thank God for every trial that you ever experienced, every trouble and tribulations you ever went through. One day you'll look back and say, I thank God for me going through that valley. Why? Because going through those valleys makes you lean on Him even more. You'll look back and say, God, I thank You for every trouble. I thank You for every trial. God, I thank You for everything that I went through. Why? Because it made me the man of God I am now. You might not be thanking God right now, but you know what? One day you'll go through that storm. You look back while you're on the sunny banks of deliverance, looking back saying, thank God He brought me through what I went through. Amen. I tell you, God's brought me through some things. But you know what? I'm glad. I got some valleys ahead of me, but you know what? I'm glad I've got some mountaintop experience along the way home. I tell you, He's a great God. I love Him today. Amen. But I tell you, there's something about that name. There's something about the name of Jesus. What a name. The lovely name of Jesus. I tell you, I just love Him today. I love that name. There's something about that name. I believe if I say Michael Jordan, we got some basketball players in here, and UNC fans. I believe if I say Michael Jordan, I believe people hoop and holler over that name. What about if we got some baseball players? What about Babe Ruth? I believe some people might even shout on that name. I believe what about some NFL fans? Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Cam Newton, some of those people. I mean, they even get shirts and put their names on it and stuff. You know what? There's nothing like the name of Jesus. I say, if you can't hoop and holler and shout over the name of Jesus, can I tell you there's nothing in this world you're going to be able to? I tell you, there's something about that name. Something about that name, Jesus. I believe Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 9 says, wherefore God hath given Him a name which is above every name, the name Jesus. Can I tell you, there's something about that name, Jesus. I tell you, heaven and earth is in subjection to Him. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 18. Mark chapter 4, verse number 41. I tell you, in the name of Jesus, demons tremble. James chapter 2, number 19 says, even the demons tremble at Thy name. Luke 10:17, Mark 3:11. Prayers are answered and healings occur in the name of Jesus. You can find that John chapter 14:14, Acts chapter 3 and verse number 6. Angels worship Him. You can find that in Hebrews chapter 1 and number 6. But not only that, all of creation will marvel at that name Jesus one day. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 verse 10 and 11 that in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth. In the name of Jesus, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I tell you, one day we're going to bow the knee. Everybody's going to bow the knee. Everything that's living is going to bow that knee in heaven and earth under the earth. One day they're going to bow and say that Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. But you know what? I'm glad we don't have to wait to that day before we can bow the knee. I'm glad that we can bow our knee on this side of eternity and say, glory to God. He is the Lamb of God. He is the one that taketh away the sin of the world. I'm glad I know something about that name, Jesus. That's not my message today. We're going to back up a little bit and catch chapter number 3. I had to get to the point, so we're going to went through it, catch the end. We're going to go back to the beginning. We're going to end up where we started, if that makes sense. But just hang on. Chapter number 3. Verse number 1 says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. So let us get astray. What's going on right now? We have a Peter and John. They're going up to the prayer. They're going into the temple, and here's a man laying by the seat of the. He's laid there. I want you to notice first his condition. The Bible says that he was lame from his mother's womb. He was carried. He went there to beg. So you got to understand how this man's condition. He couldn't provide for himself. If he could, there's no need for him to sit by the side. If he had enough money, there was no need for him to be there begging for alms. He didn't. I mean, if he had his needs met, it would be pointless. He'd be wasting time. But you know what? He needed something. His condition, he needed something. Yes. He was from his mother's womb. So, preacher, where are you going with this? Can I tell you, I had a condition one day. I got it from my mother's womb. Whenever I was, the Bible says that in sin, did my mother conceive me. I believe that's what David said. I tell you, we all had a sin problem. I believe we all was looking for something. And here that man was. He was looking for something. His needs wasn't being met. I tell you, one day I had a condition. It was called sin. I was lost. I separated from God. I couldn't get to God if I wanted to. But you know what? I came through God. I made my way through God by the bloody Calvary. God, the Holy Ghost gripped my heart, introduced me to Christ. And you know what? I came to know Him. And through the Holy Ghost and through that power of reconciliation, the Holy Ghost took Christ's hand and took my hand, and they met in the middle. You know what? I'm thankful for the presence of God in my life. I'm thankful for the knowing what I once was. I'm no longer what I am. I heard a preacher say, if you was what you is, you ain't. Amen. I don't know if we got any English teachers, but that made sense to me. I went to West High. That's just normal talk for me, but some of them people, I know we got some people that, Martha, is she here? I know she was a teacher, but if you is what you was, you ain't. I'm glad there have ever been a change in your life. It's by the name of Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I'm glad there's something new found in Christ. I'm not the same man I'm used to be. My desires have changed. My love's changed. What I once was, I'm no longer what I am. I think it's all because of Christ, what Christ done in my life. I'm thankful for the change that Christ brought my way. Notice his condition. Notice, secondly, his cry. He wasn't there just saying, you know, could you give me something? I need something. I believe that man was crying. I believe it was everybody that passed by. Hey, can you help me? I need some help. Can you help me? I need something. Can you give me something? I need some help. I need some silver. I need some gold. Can you help me? Everyone that passed by, hey, can you help me? You know what some people will do? I'm not going to help that man. Hey, can you help me? I need some help. Can you help me? They would just walk on by. Can you help me? They just walk on by. But here Peter and John go. You know what? They didn't turn a blind eye, did they? He looked at him, and you know what? Peter and John, they heard that man. They heard his cry. But going back, his cry. I tell you, one day I was looking for something. I didn't know what it was, but you know what? Christ knew what it was, and it was him. Can I tell you, a man of God came by, he preached Jesus unto me. He said, you know what you're missing? You're missing Christ. You're missing that blood of atonement. You're missing that free pardon of sin. If you listen, I have what you need. And that's through Christ. He there is crying, give me something. I need something. You know what he got wasn't what he was looking for, but you know what? What he got beats what he was looking for. Does that make sense? He got something better. He got Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. But his cry, he was asking something. Go on down, look at verse number 3. It says, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. You know what he did? He cried to Peter and John. I believe they walked by and that man said, hey, give me something. Hey, I need something. You know what? They stopped and they said, what's that guy hollering about? He said, I need some money. I need some help. He looked on him and listened to what Peter said. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John. You know what Peter did? Peter didn't say, John, don't listen to him. He's poor and lame. He's just one of those peasants. Just ignore him. Let's go on to the temple. We got better things to worry about. We're going in there to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We don't have time for this man. I tell you, if that was his attitude, he'd been in the wrong. He would have no problem. I mean, he would have had a problem going into the church, worshiping God, if he ignored that man's need. The Bible said, if you shut up the bowels of compassion, needing a man, you said, just go your way and be filled. Where's the love of God in you? I say, but you know what? Thirdly today, notice his compassion. He looked upon him. He didn't say, John, let's just forget about him. No, he said, he needs something. We got what he has. I tell you, church, we got what the world needs. They might say, hey, I need some more money. I need some more drugs. I need this. They're looking for everything. But you know what? They just don't know what they're missing. I tell you, we have an answer. That name is Jesus Christ. Peter fastened his eyes upon him, said, look on us. Now, I believe Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost then. He said, boy, look at me. Look on us. You know, I believe as he was looking him out, notice thirdly, the consideration. I believe that man, he was considering what Peter said. He said, look on us. I take in the world, can they look on you? Can they look on you and see that you have something they don't? Or are you just like them? There that man is sitting by the wayside saying, hey, I need some help. Hey, I need some help. Something's missing. I need some help. I need some help. Sitting on the outside of church. And then they go walking by. People after people. You know, I believe if his needs were met, he would have got it. The people would have said, hey, they ain't no more need. I got some money. Let's go. I got some better things to do. But no, he was there. Why? Because his condition hasn't changed. The needs wasn't met. People just kept on walking by, forgetting about him. They kept on going into the temple. He said, I believe these church people, they claim to be Christians. They're going to church. And here I am crying out for help. And none of them cares. He was in the right spot to get some help, wasn't he? He was at the gate, called Beautiful, there at Solomon's, waiting for some of the Christians to give him some help. But no one cared for his soul. How sad that'd be. I wonder how many people we pass by every day. They're just sitting out there. They're not out there crying out. But yet on the inward, their soul, their heart's crying out, I need some help. I need some help. I need some help. I need some help. And we look at them and say, they're not going to amount to nothing. Let's go worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's not neglect the people's needs. Let's not neglect the world and what they need. I tell you, we got what they have. We got what they need. And that's Jesus Christ. Notice his consideration. Peter said, fasting his eyes with John, he said, look on us. If they looked on you, would they be able to see Christ? If they looked on you, if the world looked on you, would they see Christ? If the world looked on me, me being a preacher, would they see Christ in my deed? Would they see Christ in my words? Would they see Christ in my actions? Would they see Christ in the smile on my face? God help us all. Verse number 5 says, and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. You know what? He considered what he heard. He said, you know what, man, this man, he gave me some attention. He looked at me and he said, look on us. He said, man, he's getting ready to give me a $100 bill. He's getting ready to give me something good. I'm going to be eating good the next couple of days. He said, I wonder what he's going to give me. And then you know what Peter said? He said, silver and gold have I none. I believe whenever he heard that, I believe that man's head dropped. He said, I'm going to waste my time. He said, that's what I'm looking for. That's what I need. But you know what? He had a greater need, didn't he? He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Amen. You know what he was considering? He said, I need that. But you know what? He got better. He was asking something, but he got better, didn't he? Yeah. He said, I want some silver and gold. And God said, I'm not going to give you that. I'm going to give you the one who made it. Amen. He said, I'm going to give you Christ. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Fourthly, I see the compassion. Peter and John, they just didn't ignore that man, did he? They looked upon him. He said, look on us. I'm getting ready to tell you what you need. I tell you what the Bible says in Jude 22, some having compassion, making a difference. I tell you, church, where is our compassion? We need to have compassion on this lost and dying world. I tell you, if we don't have compassion on them, who's going to have it? I tell you, the world, they don't care about their own. I tell you, the world, they would cut their throat to get a dollar. I tell you, the Christians, we need to worry about them. Why? Because they have a soul. I tell you, Christ died for them. If we don't care for them, who's going to care for them? I tell you, we need to get beyond me and mine, and that's all that matters. I say, it's good, me and mine saved, but you know what? There's a whole world lost and dying to go into hell. I say, if I can't reach them, if you can't reach them, who's going to do it? I believe we better get busy for the cause of Christ. I say, we need to have a heart full of compassion. I say, I believe that's what's missing in a lot of churches today is compassion, a heart of love. I tell you, the love of God should be in us. I mean, whenever we pass by and we see someone, we should see them through the eyes of Christ, seeing a soul worth dying for. I tell you, I believe that's what our heart should be full of. Our heart should be full of love, looking at them saying, man, Christ died for them. I should love them the way that Christ loved them. I tell you, sometimes it's hard to do that, but you know what? We should do that. I believe Paul said, if it be at all possible, live peaceably among all men. There have been some people Paul couldn't get along with. I believe Alexander the coppersmith called him much mischief. But you know what? He said, do the best you can through the love of Christ. Love them all. You don't have to get along with them. You don't have to eat with them, walk hands with them. But you know what? You should love them and you should pray for them. I believe that's what Peter and John did. They looked upon that man and said, you know what? I might not be able to give you what you want, but I can give you what you need, and that's Christ. And you know what happened? Look at verse number 7. It says, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Notice the company. Their company changed. Before it was just Peter and John. Next, here this lame guy, he jumps up, he pops up, and he started walking. He said, I'm going with you. I'm going where you're going. He said, you're going to the temple? I'm going to the temple. Notice he wasn't praising Peter and John, was he? Who was that lame man praising? My Bible says he was praising God. That's a big G. He knew where that power came from. He knew where that healing came from. He knew where that touch came from. Why? Because Peter said, I'm not doing it in my name. I'm doing it in his name. He said, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. You know what? He saw who gave the healing. He saw who met the need. He saw who answered that prayer. His name is Christ. His company changed. He got in with them. He said, you're going to praise God? I'm going to go praise God because he's done something for me. I tell you, has Christ done anything for you? Where would you be had it not been for Christ? Have you thought about that? Where would you be had it not been for Christ? I tell you, I know where I'd be. I'd probably be in hell today. But you know what? I'm not. I'm sitting on a church pew. I'm saved. I'm sealed. I'm ready to go. But you know what? I'm having the time of my life serving Him. Where would you be had it not been for Christ? I guarantee you, you wouldn't be where you are right now. I tell you, I'd hate to see it. I believe a lot of us would even be dead or in prison or worse in hell. But you know what? I thank God I'm not there. I thank God one day a man of God passed by me and I was sitting by the wayside. No man, they passed by and they said, he's not going to amount to nothing. Teacher said, he just don't look on him. He's not going to amount to nothing. But you know what? A man of God came by and said, you know what? Look on me. I got the Spirit of God living in me. I'm living what I say. I'm walking a Christian life. You need Christ, boy. That's what you need. You need Christ. And you know what? The Holy Ghost came by. He arrested my heart, took me to Bloody Calvary and said that what that preacher's saying is right. You need Christ. You need Christ. Something's missing. What you're looking for is not what you need. You need Christ. And you know what? As a 7-year-old boy, I bowed my head in Sunday school class. I can take you to the spot where I called on the Lord to save me. And you know what? It's different now. My life's never been the same. Of course, I've made mistakes in high school and throughout my life. I failed God miserably. But you know what? I can say on the authority of Word God, He's never failed me. He's been with me every step of the way. I've not always been walking hands in hand with Christ. But you know what? I've always been in His hand, even though the Bible says a righteous man falleth. But you know what? He gets back up. Why? Because the Lord helps me up. I'm glad that whenever I fall down, you know what? Whenever I fall, I'm still in the Father's hand. I might fall and I might fall flat on my face, but you know what? I'm still in the Father's hand. There's nothing. No man can pluck me out of my Father's hand. You know what? I'm a man myself. I can't even take myself out of the Father's hand. I'm glad that I'm safe and sealed in my Father's hand. But I tell you, the company, he leaping up, stood and walked with them and entered into the temple. Notice verse number 9. A few more minutes and I'll be done. Verse number 9 says, and all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew it was him which sat in the alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at which what had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed by Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. You know what happened? The crowd started talking, didn't they? The crowd said, man, that's that guy that was outside. That's that guy we walked by. You remember walking by him, brother? Sister, you remember walking by that man? He was crying out. And we said, we don't need to look at him. Now he's in here praising God. Something happened to him. Amen. You know what? I wonder what happened if they come by and said, you know what? You need Christ.
Amen.
You know what? I don't believe any of them came by and said, hey, I know you're outside the temple. Do you want to get in the temple? They went on. Why? Because they didn't have compassion. But you know what? Peter and John said, you need Christ. And you know what happened? Whenever his condition changed, his heart changed, didn't it?
Yes.
He was on the outside of the temple. I just saw he was on the outside of the temple. But what happened? Whenever he got Christ, what did he do? He got up and he went in the temple, didn't he?
Amen.
He was on the outside looking in. He said, I need some help. I need some help. But you know what? Whenever he got Christ, he went on the inside saying, I got some help.
Amen.
I got some help. On the outside, he said, hey, I need some help. I need some help. But you know what? He met Christ. He went in the temple saying, I got some help. I tell you, how many of us can say the same thing? I'm
Amen.
Glad one day I was outside of the temple. I was outside of the fold. I was outside of the family of God. I was out there lost in my sins on my way to hell, crying for help. But you know what? A man of God introduced Christ to me and the Holy Ghost came by and I got the help that I needed. Now
Amen.
I'm in church. You know what? I'm glad I can testify and say, I got some help. I've got some help
Amen.
By the name Jesus Christ. I tell you, the crowd was asking, is that guy? There's something different about him. He's walking. He's on his own feet. He's standing. And you know what? Peter and John, they just reared back and preached Jesus.
Yes.
In closing, notice what happened. That was a talk by that one man. Did you know because of that one man's help, Paul used that, or not Paul, Peter and John used that, and 5,000 believed the gospel?
Yes.
Did you know that? Look at verse number 4. It says, howbeit that many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000.
Yes.
Did you know God touched that man, and because of that man and his healing, 5,000 people got saved that day.
Amen.
Because of one man. 5,000 people got saved because of the blessing that God showed him.
Yes.
I tell you, God showed us mercy, didn't he? I wonder how many people are going to get saved because of God's mercy and kindness toward us. It all depends on what you do, ain't it? I wonder what would happen if that man said, "Man, I praise God for my blessing. I thank God He saved me. Peter and John, you go on to the temple. I'm going back home. I got some things I want to do." But you know what? He said, "No, I'm going in the temple." He went in there. He only went in there and sat down. The Bible says he leaping, praising God. I believe he was running the aisle saying, "Thank God what happened to me. I met a man that changed my world." And you know what? That woke some of them people up. I believe those dead Christians, they're sitting around. They said, "Man, something's going on. There's some noise in the house. Something happened. Let's go in the house. Let's go in the temple and see what happened." And there that man is, that lame man. He's walking around praising God, leaping, running, saying, I thank God for the touch. I thank God for the touch. I thank God for the touch. You know what happened? It sparked the curiosity. He said, "Man, something happened to him. What happened?" And Peter and John said, well, if you want to know, man named Jesus, I didn't do it. He did it." And you know what? 5,000 people got saved because of God's loving kindness and mercy toward that one man. Church, I wonder what God can do with us and through us and for us if we just lean on Him.
Yes.
Can I tell you, one man in one day God used to reach 5,000 people. I wonder what God can do in our lifetime. How many people we can reach through the cause of Christ. Can I tell you, it's not because of me. It's all because of Him. I don't deserve anything. I don't deserve anything God's given me. I don't deserve His love. I don't deserve His mercy. I don't deserve His grace. I don't deserve any of that. You know what I deserve? Brother Kenny, I deserve hell. I say, I'm just being honest with you. I'm not righteous. I'm not good. I'm a sinner. But you know what? I thank God for that loving kindness. I thank God for that tender mercy. He passed by me and He had compassion on me. He changed me. He changed my desires. And I'm not the man I once was. I'm thankful I'm new in Christ. I tell you, Christ moved in. The devil moved out. My heart changed. Everything about me changed whenever I met the man named Christ.
Amen.
I tell you, I love Him. I thank God for His mercy and His grace. I tell you a little story about the difference between mercy and grace. Some people say, "Well, what's mercy and what's grace?" And I just tell you, I heard a preacher say this and it made so much sense to me. Brother Brian, I know you, Ben and BJ, but you know what? I don't have any kids of my own, so I'm going to use him. Brother Brian, if someone came into your house and killed your boy while you was gone working, and you got up and you went and found that man and you killed him, you know what that is? That's justice. But you know what? If a man came into your house and killed your boy while you was gone, and you went and found him, and you said, "I forgive you," you gave him a hug and said, "I forgive you," you know what that is? That's mercy. But if a man broke into your house and killed your boy while you was at work, and you found that man and said, "I forgive you," but then you took that man and brought him into your house and gave him your son's bed, gave him your son's spot at the table, loved him like your own and said, "I forgive you. I'm going to bring you into my house. I'm going to put your name in his will. Where my son was, I'm going to put you. I'm going to give you everything I would have given him." You know what that is? That's grace. I tell you, that's what the Father did to me. I tell you, whenever Jesus came by, I'm the one that crucified him. I'm the one that caused him to die. It was because of my sin that put him on that cross. But you know what the Father did whenever he came by me? The Holy Ghost came by. He said, "You're the reason my son had to die. You're the one he died for. You're the reason. You're the sinner. You're the one to blame." You know what? He didn't leave me there. He came by. He didn't only show me mercy, but thank God he showed me grace. He said, "Everything I give in my son, I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you a spot at the table. One day you're going to come home and be with me. I'm going to go and make a place for you. I'm going to go and prepare a way for you." He said, "Everything I give in Jesus, I'm going to give you."
Amen.
I tell you, there's nothing like the mercy and grace of God.
Amen.
I tell you, I'm thankful I've experienced that. You might be here today and saying, "Preacher, what is all this talk about?" You might be the one at the gate saying, "I need some help. I need some help." You might have even came into church today saying, "I need some help. This life is getting old. I'm tired of this." Have you ever said that? Have you ever woke up and said, "Man, I'm getting tired of this. Just another day. Man, I'm getting fed up. I'm tired of this. There's got to be more to life than just this." I tell you, you might be lost. You might be needing Christ. I tell you, Macy, would you come to the piano and play something softly? Standing all over the house.